In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. For many years, when I heard that All Saints Sunday was coming up, I would immediately think of all those wonderful saints and martyrs we remember throughout our liturgical year. Those who faced extraordinary challenges and often persecutions for their Christian faith. And it is good that we should have days of the year for remembering saints when we can sense that the veil between time and eternity is thin, and we can sense also that greater and wider communion of saints to which we belong. But that is not only what All Saints Sunday is about. Today is also a day for particularly remembering those people we have known who reflected for us and to us the love of God in Christ. In fact, most of us have probably met a saint or two over the last week or two. There are lots of them about, but they are not always easy for us to spot as saints because they are just ordinary people like us. They might be people who, even though they experience struggles, are also grateful for blessings they have received. They are interested in others, living out their life with Christ with quiet joy. For a saint, as Samuel Wells says, is just a small character in a story that is always fundamentally about God. And of course, this is very different to being a hero who wants to take the central role in their own story. So I wonder if you have met such a saint recently. Love is the hallmark of a saint. Love is the power that reaches out through the horror and distress of world events. The pure goodness of love overcomes evil. We see the power of God's love for God's people that overcomes all in our Daniel reading today. And actually, this was not written by Daniel, this section today anyway, but written by an unknown author in the 2nd century BCE at a time of persecution of the Jewish people. With its vivid and somewhat terrifying apocalyptic imagery and metaphor, it is a stark picture of the battle between good and evil, earthly and heavenly reality. The imagery of four beasts that we read about there, arising from the great sea, have associations with mythological monsters and forces of chaos. And at that time when this was written and talked about, the earthly historical experience of the Jewish people was of destructive earthly powers, savage and brutal kingdoms threatening to destroy them. But alongside that, we also read that there is a bigger cosmic picture of how God is in control of history, ultimately, and protects God's chosen people. So in the battle between evil and good, good and evil, there is a certainty that God will be victorious. As we ourselves are continually confronted with forces of evil in the world today, evil with its grip on systems, on governments, on human beings, we wonder often Will good prevail, or will it be overcome? The writer's vision here in Daniel, with its promise of deliverance for God's holy ones through the reality that God's kingdom will never be destroyed, is a scene of great hope and comfort in our present turmoil also. When we come to the words of Psalm 149 today, we read the joyful response to the wonderful reality of God's authority that ultimately prevails. There, the psalmist says, we can sing on our beds and be joyful, for God delights in us and is always reaching out to give life and hope. Hope and new life throb through the gospel reading today also, where we read Jesus is with the people. Twice it says Jesus is with them. That wonderful word with, Emmanuel, God with us, that we will sing through Christmas season. We see a great crowd there in this Luke reading, gathered to hear Jesus, gathered to be healed by him. Suffering, distressed people, afflicted by a variety of diseases and demons. We can only imagine the noise, the smell, the heart-rending sights of troubled people. And who are they drawn to? A compelling figure whose very presence promises relief from all that oppresses. Operating from the overflowing love and compassion of God, Jesus heals them, and then, following that, takes time to talk about how God is intimately concerned with those who are afflicted and troubled. In Jesus, people are given a future that they had not believed was possible. In Luke's Gospel, those called blessed, in comparison to Matthew's Gospel, where it's a more spiritualized version of the Beatitudes, but in Luke's Gospel, those called blessed are those who have no choice in their disadvantaged situations. Jesus promises that God will be faithful to them and reverse their situation. This is what makes these Luke and Beatitudes what's been called a deeply subversive text, provocative, outrageous, where the word blessed is not associated with the wealthy, the healthy, and the most powerful, but in fact, the very opposite. For the marginalised, the ignored, the abused, there is a new future that no one thought was possible. A new future that is only possible because God is God, and God is faithful always to his promise to bring newness and life. Now, ordinary saints know something of this and want to act for others through the energy of God's love that has been given to them. Saints humanize the world through their vulnerable openness to God and to the needs they see around them, just as Jesus did. People don't become saints through wanting to be noticed or taking the limelight or not listening to others, but through, in a very ordinary way, being joyful and grateful while accepting the challenge to choose to live a life of love in the steps of Jesus. Evelyn Underhill phrased it very simply, and I quote, "A saint is just a human being released from the love of self and enslaved by the love of God. Any kind of human being will do for that, and the less conventional, the better. Well, yesterday I went to a funeral at St. Andrew's Brighton of someone who was not always conventional, sometimes a little eccentric, as was said in the funeral. This was the funeral of Father Brian Porter. Some of you may well have known him or known of him. Apart from being an outstanding priest, teacher and chaplain at a number of schools, including Melbourne Grammar, Brian was always wanting to communicate the love of God. And many times yesterday through the service, we heard one of his mantras, one I myself had heard from him, that what is at the heart of God's being is simply yet profoundly love. He said, we come from love, and at the end of our days, we return to love. And Brian would quote Philip Larkin, one of his favourite poets. What will survive of us is love. So have you met a saint this week? Perhaps you have. And perhaps you are even one yourself. I conclude with a prayer of Brian's that he gave to me and to many others. Let us pray. God of love, help us to be so mindful of the love from whence we came, that we might learn more of the love to which we go, and in this love abounding, daily abide. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.